I would like to spend some more time on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Sean spoke on this a month ago, so it should be just clearing your head. By the way, that's the only sermon I've listened to so far, Sean. So when I listened to it, I posted it on the internet after I edited it a little bit. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? After today, you will be able to tell me. Okay? At least I hope so. All right? So I'm going to overlap something Sean said. Sean spent some time on the filling of the Spirit, which is not the baptism of the Spirit. That causes a great amount of confusion when people combine the two. The baptism of the Spirit is actually one of the most significant works of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church age. Okay, so we're going to get into that. So what does it mean? Now you have notes, right? Can you give me more volume? Sorry. All right. Can everyone hear me okay? So when I start yelling, it'll be too loud maybe, but we'll see. Anyway, we're going to talk about two parts today. And that hopefully if I get done in time, I have an illustration. I have a, what do you call it when you use object lesson? There you go. At the end of this session. So it's underneath here. Sit. It's not a lie. Okay, so what does it mean? That's what we're going to talk about. And actually, we're going to actually put the puzzle pieces together. I've been reading key people, and everyone seems to have a little slightly different take on it. So it's harder than it sounds, even though there isn't very much about it in Scripture. But Dr. John Walvoord, who used to be the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, approaches it differently. It doesn't mean he disagrees, but he approaches it differently than Charles Ryrie, who approaches it different than Merrill Unger. All of those are affiliated, if you will, with Dallas. They're all with the Lord now. Dr. Kober has some good notes. He approaches it very simply. And sometimes I think it's harder to simplify than it is. Sean probably, you get into, this is going to be nothing. I felt kind of sorry for you, even this week, as I was going through it again. It's like, Merrill Unger wrote a whole book on it. Most of the others just have chapters. And even Ryrie, I read one book on the Holy Spirit. He has a chapter on it. And then he has a longer extended chapter in basic theology, which goes into more detail. But then he builds on that. So it's tougher than it sounds, though. You can approach it from a couple different ways, but you need to understand what the baptism of the Spirit is. And I'm going to approach it from a different way than Sean did 3 weeks ago. Sean, 3 weeks ago, or I guess is it 4 weeks ago now? I don't know. The first Sunday I was gone, the 16th of February. But he approached it, contrasted it from walking in the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit. And then he focused on who it happens to and kind of when it happens. Okay, I'm going to go into a little more detail from a different direction. And we'll see what's here. There's not much to write on, but you need to pay attention because there's a lot here. I didn't want to fill in a lot, but there's things I want you to circle throughout. And you'll see why in a little bit. Okay? Number one here, an overview of Spirit baptism in the Bible. I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of the entire Bible in Spirit baptism. You ready? Y'all ready to go here? This is the majority of your writing right now, this morning's session, is in this first point. You got it? So, in the Old Testament, it's absent. There's nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not the working of the Holy Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is absent in the Old Testament. Do you know that? It's never talked about in the Old Testament. That's significant. We'll get into it more in the second session. But in the Old Testament, it's absent. Letter B. In the Gospels, there's four passages. Guess what? There's one in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke, and one in John. Pretty easy to remember. And each one of those is prophetic. It hasn't happened yet. When it's talked about in the Gospels, the baptism of the Spirit is still what? future. That's what we mean by prophetic, okay? So far, so good? So we've covered the entire Old Testament so far and all of the Gospels. That's going pretty fast. All right? Now, there's two passages in Acts that specifically talk about Spirit baptism. The first one is in Acts 1:5, and that's where Jesus promises it. It's promised in Acts 1:5. It says, stay in Jerusalem, you'll receive a promise of the Father. You'll be baptized with the Spirit. It's promised in Acts 1:5, but by the way, it's still what? Future. It hasn't happened yet. So the baptism of the Spirit from the time of Adam until the time Jesus shows up in Acts chapter 1 has not happened yet. Okay, so far so good. The next time we see specifically the terms of baptism and Spirit connected together is Acts 11, and by then it's historic, which means what? It's past. It's already happened. So sometime between Acts 1 and Acts 11, it's happened. The baptism of the Spirit has happened. Now we're going to look at these passages quickly this morning. Okay, and then the last one that you see in Scripture that specifically talks about baptism in the Spirit is 1 Corinthians 12:13. Sean was in there some. And that's doctrinal. Paul is explaining it. For by one Spirit we've all been baptized into one body. So there's Spirit and baptized in the same verse, if you will. That kind of idea. We're going to look more at that. And then guess what? What comes after the church age? The millennium. What's the millennium? Okay, I was going to say, how many years is 1,000 years? Because that's what millennium means, right? Guess what? In the millennium, it's what? Absent again. So, we'll get to that as we go forward. But listen, the baptism of the Spirit then only happens during what? The church age. It's special. Which makes you special. You're in a special group that has never existed before the church age. The last one here, you can just put down a number here. How many, add these up. How many verses, passages are there? How many? Seven. There's only seven passages that specifically talk about baptism in the Spirit. Now, there's other passages that talk about baptism into Christ, baptism into His death. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But it's not talking about baptism of the Spirit specifically. It's not using the same terminology. You understand that? So Ryrie says, and this is what Ryrie's approach is, Ryrie focuses on these seven and how they correlate together. Walver jumps into, if you will, extended or related passages. Romans 6, Colossians, Romans 6, we've all been baptized into Christ, right? Romans 6. Same with Colossians 2. What's the other ones? Galatians 3:27 is another one. But it doesn't mention the Spirit. Okay, so, but Walvoord adds these and says these have something to do with it. So he approaches it, including those. And then Unger throws in one more, which is 1 Peter 3, I want to say 18 or something like that. Not 3:18, a little earlier, 3:10 maybe. Where it talks about an antitype where people are saved by water. So he categorizes that one with it as well. So each one, again, approaches some a little different. But there's a total of seven. That's the answer, right? That specifically talk about the Spirit baptism. Now, we aren't saying the others are not related. Okay? We think they're involved in this. But specifically, when the Bible talks about Spirit baptism, there's only how many passages? Seven. Okay. Let's look at the seven. And I've broken them down into specific points. Now, there's nothing to write down, but I need you to pay very good attention. It's tedious, but it's not hard, I don't think. Okay? And I'm only listing the single verse, but I actually put the reference passage in your notes. So there's the fuller passage, but then there's also the single verse that actually contains the comment about Spirit baptism. So let's look at the Gospels. I'll look at Spirit baptism in the Gospels. Now the first one, we said there's one in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke, one in John. Okay? You with me? So here's the passage here. It says, I indeed baptize you. This is verse 11 rather, out of that larger context. This is John the Baptizer talking. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Okay? Now let's break this down a little bit. This is in your notes, but stay with me, okay? I just break it down. John is baptizing with or in water. You can translate it like three different ways easily. You can say by water, in water, with water, and not be inaccurate. Okay? In my thinking, by the way, this is the Greek transliteration, and I want you to circle this word here, the E-N. And guess what it means? It can mean a lot of things, but in simple terms, it means in. It can also mean by, stuff like that too, right? It's a preposition. But John says he baptizes in water. You know, when we baptize in water. It's hudeti. Hydro. Okay. And this is part of my argument that I'll get to in a little bit later. So, John is using a term in water. And then he comes along and says, Jesus will, by the way, it's future. You see that? Baptize with or in the Holy Spirit and fire, by the way. And guess what word he uses? The same word John uses here. In pneumati, which is spirit, and hagio is holy. That's sometimes you get the adjective after the fact in Greek and Spanish and some of the others. But in spirit and pyro, puri. If you're a pyromaniac, you're a crazy fire person. My boys were burning some sticks yesterday. They were pyromaniacs. But anyway, notice here it says in spirit, holy, and fire. How many ins are there in this phrase here? How many? One. So my point is, and you don't have to think too hard on this yet, I'll bring it out later, but whatever relationship in has with the Spirit, it has with fire. And it seems in the context with water too. So it seems to be something you're inside. When we baptize you, we put you in water. Here, at least, it seems like you're put into this in the Spirit because you're immersed or plunged into. And whatever fire is, it seems like it's the same idea. It's baptized in fire. Okay? So make sure you circle the ins. Okay? All right, Matthew, Mark. Let's go to Mark, okay? Mark, and this is verse 8. There's a larger context in Mark chapter 1 of 5 through 8. This is John the Baptist speaking again. I indeed baptize. Now he uses past tense rather than present tense, the last verse. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now here he uses a slightly different word, at least the Greek does. Same word here, but it doesn't use the word en. By the way, in Greek, The dative form can mean in by itself. You don't have to add an in. It can also be by or to. It's language, okay? Jesus, he says, he will, notice it's still future, with the Holy Spirit. We said all the Gospels point forward, right? It's prophetic. We'll baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now notice here, you can circle this again. En pneumati hagio, in the Spirit holy again. Okay? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? I'm going to back up here. You can see it on your paper, but I can't. Notice he uses the exact same phrase here. En pneumati hagio. So he's, what the way Mark records it, it's the same thing that is said, only he adds with fire. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay? Luke, verses 15 through 17. Who's talking? Here. John. This is hard, isn't it? Pastor Kevin, it's hard. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. By the way, this uses, there's no N here, but it can be translated as in or by or to. This is the exact same phrase from Matthew. So there's an en pneumati hagio kai puri, which is the fire part. Kai is and. If you learn kai, you've learned like what? A seventh of the entire New Testament. And. Okay? So en again, circle the en. He uses the same en pneumati hagio. And I'm saying this for a point. We're making a point. Right now we're making observations in order to make a point later. Okay? Next, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay, let's do John. John chapter 1 again, verse 33. Notice it's a larger context again for time savings. John said this, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. It must be a pretty big deal for all of the Gospels to repeat this in some way or form. Here again, John has the term en hudati, in water. So circle in there. And then Jesus, he who is baptizes. This is a participle, the one who baptizes. So it's not saying that Jesus is doing it yet, but it's like John the Baptizer. It's kind of the same idea. He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Guess what phrase is used again? En pneumati hagio. The exact same phrase all four times. Four. That would be these many fingers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This one doesn't mention fire. Matthew and Luke mention fire. Mark and John do not. Not a significant thing one way or another. Okay, so the Gospels, and they all look forward. It hasn't happened yet. There's been no baptism of the Spirit since Adam onward. Yet. The Old Testament talks about it how much? Make a goose egg. Zero, none, nada. The Gospels talk about it one each, four times. One verse in each. Again, there's a context for each of these. How many times in Acts? Twice. Once before and once after. And then once in the 1 Corinthians, right? Okay, so let's go to Acts. We're going to look at that in point number three. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, and I'm actually going to put 4 and 5 up here. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Who is he? Jesus is talking here, right? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized, what? With water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So it uses hudatai again. And again, it's using it, whatever John used that it had the same meaning as in water. That's hudetai, can be translated that without the preposition, but it doesn't use the preposition here. The apostles are told by Jesus they will be baptized, so it's passive toward the apostles. And notice here, in pneumatai, and then it uses the term will be baptized. It's there. That's the only time that there's any break in it. And then it uses the word hagia. So the apostles will be baptized in pneumatai hagio again. Okay? So all, well, so far, five occurrences use the exact same phrase. Okay? A couple more observations. The promise of the Father. Baptism. The promise of the Father equals baptism of the Holy Spirit. You notice why I'm saying that? Wait for the promise of the Father. Why? Because you've heard from me, John truly baptized with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is equating the two. Right? Does that make sense? The promise of the Father is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Other observation, baptism would happen in the very near future. It says here, not many days from now. You see that at the very end? So when is it going to happen? In a few days. We think it was maybe 10. So Acts 1:5. So Gospels and Acts, it hasn't happened yet. There's five of the seven passages. Number four, us look at the spirit baptism and the one historical account that we have in all of the Bible with regard to spirit baptism. And I have all three verses here. And this is, by the way, Peter speaking. This actually happened in Acts chapter 10 when he went to Cornelius' house. And then he's explaining it to the Jews after the fact, the apostles and so on. Verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he ties what had happened to them already, sometime in there earlier, with what Jesus had promised, even as lately as Acts 1:5. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? The Holy Spirit fell on them as upon us at the beginning. We cannot think of any other time that would be other than Pentecost. By the way, Cornelius and the people around him spoke in tongues, which are what? No languages that you have not learned. Tongues doesn't accompany the baptism of the Spirit. It just happens to be one of the evidences that the Spirit was there. By the way, that it only happened three times. The tongues thing in all of Acts. And each time it was a significant group of people. The first one was the Jews. The second was the Gentiles. The third one, I think it was I got the order right. Third one was the disciples of John the Baptist. Three times. And that's it. In all of Acts. It was to establish a precedent. To validate something. Okay? But the Holy Spirit fell on them as upon us at the beginning. The beginning, as Peter saw it, was Pentecost. That's when it happened. He says, hey, it was verified that they had the Holy Spirit because they spoke in tongues. So we know that as Gentiles, they had received the Holy Spirit because they couldn't have done that. They couldn't have had any ministry of the Holy Spirit unless the Holy Spirit was residing in them. Peter equates Pentecost with baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says it happened to us in the beginning. That baptism that Jesus had promised had already happened by Acts chapter 11. And the only place we know is that first time. And it was the same kind of idea that happened in Acts chapter 2. Why do we say, we said that tongues doesn't accompany the baptism of the Spirit. It's not something that has to be there for evidence. That's a confusion that the modern charismatic movement that's been around since only the early 1900s, by the way, teaches, but any spirit activity proved to Peter that these believers received spirit baptism also. Okay, it's just in any form of activity by the Spirit was evidence enough for Peter to say, hey, they've received the Spirit, let's baptize them in water because they are believers and God has accepted them into his body. The fire part had not happened at Pentecost. Notice Peter doesn't say, and neither does Jesus in Acts chapter 1, you'll be baptized with water and fire. He doesn't say that. Some people try to say the fire that we don't even know where it landed on the disciples in Acts chapter 2, but try to pin that, but it doesn't seem to be that way. They were not immersed in fire. That seems to be the judgment of God that will come at a later time. And by the way, if it references the return of Jesus, he's going to destroy people. You know, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he will strike the nations, right? But also, are you understanding that the lake of fire will be a baptism of fire for people? It's like being thrown into a lake, but not with water, it's fire. That's about as baptism as you can get. Okay? So it could run for that, but there's no good reason to think it had anything to do with Pentecost because it's not referenced in any of these places. It seems to be the judgment of God at a future date that is still future now. And guess what? The seventh or sixth occurrence, it's using the exact same phrase again. En pneumati hagion. The reason I keep bringing this up, and you'll see it one more time, is that people try to translate this differently, but it's the exact same phrase. And I'm under the persuasion, unless there's a good reason to think otherwise, we need to understand that all of these are talking about the exact same thing, not different things. So in or by sometimes are translated. Even I'm, by the way, the extreme weirdo on the outside, because even Ryrie will translate the Gospels as in the Holy Spirit and then translate these as by the Holy Spirit. Okay, but I'll explain myself as I go on. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what was promised, obviously, in the Gospels, but they all use the same phraseology, same terms. Last passage that uses the concept of Spirit baptism is in 1 Corinthians 12:13. That's the key verse, I guess. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And this is what's confusing, because it's like, okay, is the Spirit, are we baptized in the Spirit? Or are we baptized by the Spirit? Right? So if we're baptized in the Spirit, then the Spirit is what we're being baptized what? Into. But if we're baptized into the body of Christ, it seems like the Spirit is the one doing the baptizing. Let's close in prayer. Just kidding. It makes your head hurt, though. Okay? We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Okay? For by one Spirit, in heni pneumati. So it doesn't have hagios this time, or hagioi. Okay, the holy, it just says Spirit. The word heni, hen, is the number one in Greek. Okay? There's different forms of it. But in one Spirit, it could be in one. So you can circle N again. So every time, every one of these seven uses en pneumati. In Spirit. Now it can mean by means of the Spirit. But to me, however, there's no reason to mix them up because it's using the same terminology for every one of them. There's no indication otherwise. So this one is what throws it off. This verse is the one that says, no, it looks like instead of being baptized into the Spirit, it's the Spirit doing the baptism. And then you think, well, I believe it. I'm not sure what I believe, though. Right? I agree with whatever it's saying. I'm not sure what it's saying. Right? I'm not denying what the Word of God says. I'm just not sure what it's saying. Okay? We were all baptized. Every believer, it's not limited to the spiritual, obviously, because of 1 Corinthians. The Corinthian people were very carnal, many of them. It's not a spiritual attainment thing. Many early evangelicals taught a second blessing. Jim and Dory might be more aware of this. Moody taught of a second blessing where you prayed and the baptism of the Spirit didn't happen at regeneration. One of the biggest proponents, who was a great man, but probably his worst error, is R.A. Torrey, who promoted the idea of a second blessing. Okay. Then you have Finney and all of those who that kind of pushed and promoted the modern charismatic movement. So it went into worse things. But the second blessing was like another spiritual plane in which you receive power and maturity and so on. This is every believer, even the Corinthian believers, many of which were carnal, right, fleshly. And we're baptized into one body. This is confusing because it's like, I thought we were baptized into the Spirit. Now you're saying by one Spirit, in one Spirit, we're baptized into one body. And you're like, you want to do like the blah, 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 blah. Okay? It's true. It's just hard to understand. We're not sure what it's saying here yet. So either you're baptized into the Spirit, and a lot of them will say, well, you're baptized into the Spirit and the Spirit baptizes you into the body. Because of the phraseology, I wrestle with that deeply because even though that's probably the normal way our circles do it, because the terminology is the same in every one of the seven passages. So let's look further. What else do we have? What does Spirit baptism mean? Well, I have some things. Your letter A, I think, is on the left over here. But let's look at it, if we can make it. Either we are baptized by the Spirit or in the Spirit. As I understand it, it's mixing things up if you say both. And I think it's inappropriate because of the terminology. That doesn't mean that you cannot translate those Greek terms in or by. I'm just saying you have to have a valid reason to say you translate these as in and the others as by. And I'm saying that takes, I think we're breaking things by trying to separate it out. Okay, so far I've not made it easy for you. I'm just telling you, I don't lean that way. Okay? Jesus uses the Spirit. These are our choices here. Jesus uses the Spirit to baptize us into His body. That would be how many people take 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit we're all baptized. Jesus is doing the baptizing. And using the Spirit somehow to baptize us into the body of Christ. Okay, that's one way to look at it. And notice the word, last word at the end. What? Or, Jesus baptizes us in the Spirit. Like in water. John baptized in water, and Jesus said, or John said, He will baptize you in the Spirit and in fire. Right? And it uses the same terminology. What's the next word, last word? Or, everyone see that? Mary, you see or? Two ors? Okay, you're not seeing double, there's two of them up here. Then number three, both, and this is splitting the two, the seven passages, some of them mean this and some of them mean that. Both, in the Spirit and by the Spirit into the body. And I would say that's probably the normal view. And I'm not normal. No one said amen, so thank you. Did you say amen, Jim? Under your breath? Okay. So which is correct? I lean toward number two. And let me give you the reasons. You don't have to agree with me. But I'll tell you why. Okay? And I think I have a number here. The same phrase, in pneumati, in spirit, is used in all seven instances. Okay? All seven passages use that same phrase, in spirit, By the way, the article isn't there. It doesn't have to be. Number two, it doesn't say in the Spirit in the Greek. It just says in spirit, but we know what it means. Number two, John baptized in water. In water. It's most natural to be in spirit as well, be the same idea. The way it's used in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even in Acts chapter 11 and in Acts chapter 1, it seems to relate. The same thing that happens in water happens in the spirit, in my mind. They're using it the same way, and it seems like you have to put us into the spirit. Because that's the way we approach water, and I think that's the way fire would work too. Okay? Number three, these are all in your notes, but you can see where the N comes importance here, right? Whatever is done with the Spirit is done with fire. In Matthew and Luke, it says in spirit and fire. There's one in. It's the same activity. You can't say, I'm baptizing by the Spirit, and then say, I'm baptizing in fire. Whatever's happening to the Spirit is happening to the fire. And Matthew and Luke. That makes sense. The in spirit and fire is there's only one in. So whatever is happening to the Spirit, whatever circumstance is true of the Spirit is true of fire. Number four, a single baptism is mentioned in the Gospels. It doesn't say he will baptize you here and here. There's only one baptism discussed in the Gospels, other than the baptism by fire that will happen later, right? But we're talking about the baptism of the Spirit. It doesn't say that Jesus or John doesn't say, you will be baptized in the Spirit, and then the Spirit will baptize you. It doesn't indicate that at all. There's no hint of that in the Gospels, that there's two separate baptisms. One in the Spirit and one by the Spirit. Number five, a single baptism is indicated in 1 Corinthians 12:13. It doesn't say you're in the Spirit. It's talking about baptism in the body, right? Somehow. In one Spirit, you've been baptized into one body. How many baptisms? One. Not two. Which makes it so hard. Right, I have two brain cells. One keeps me alive. One lets me think, but I think hard and I have a hard time breathing at this point. Right, it just can't do it all. A single baptism is cited in Ephesians 5. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Not two. We're not a Christian entity by two baptisms. We're a Christian entity by one. I think there's another one here. Baptized into his death in Romans 6. By the way, that does say that as many of us were baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. Is that yet another baptism? Does it take another baptism? When does that happen? Same time. It all happens at the same time. Right? It's not a separate baptism. It's the significance of the only baptism, the Spirit baptism. And the last one here, this can be solved by a single baptism. I hope. Right? We have time. All right. Here's my illustration. Sorry, Lynn, if I make you scared. I didn't set up a table, but this, everyone can see this from here. I'm setting this on the speaker. This is a poor illustration, but it still does its job. Oh, hi. I don't know if I can get him to stand. There you go. Everyone needs a little help. Normally has truffle in it. What's it called? Layered something sweet that my girls make. That's the body of Christ, or the Christ, okay? Now this is just water with a little bit of blue water coloring. Or maybe it's acid, I don't remember. No, it's just water coloring. So I'm just filling this up. Really, I am. I have plenty. Okay? I have extra. Ted, thirsty? Okay. It's very drinkable. Body of Christ. Christ. Holy Spirit. We tried this at home. Oh, look it. Okay. Watch. When I place this man into the spirit, the water, he bubbles as he fills up with water. He sinks. How many baptisms is he in? The spirit, the water is the spirit. Is he in the spirit? Yes. What is also true? Let's ignore the water and the bubbles inside of him. He's in the body also. Right? How many baptisms? Now this is oversimplified, understand, but I think the where we error at, and then we get confused and said there has to be more than one baptism, is we forget that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are integrally connected. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Anyone see Jesus around here?
Nope.
Thank you. That's an accurate statement. He said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Anyone? Jesus? How is Jesus with us? Through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We separate them out and say, well, Jesus has to be here in the body and the Spirit is over here. And it's like, no. They're connected. Right? So that when we're baptized into the Spirit, guess what? We're also baptized into the body of Christ. It's not two baptisms. And this passage, the 1 Corinthians 12:13, in one Spirit, we have been baptized into one body. Is that true here? It is. I think we try to separate them out and we don't have to. We try to say, oh, look, now it's the body of Christ. It's different. It's like, why does it have to be different than in the Spirit? It doesn't. When we're plunged into the Spirit of God, we become part of the body of Christ. Excuse me. Single baptism, not two baptisms. It's not, oh, plunge him into the Spirit and then hurry up, Spirit, put him into the body of Christ. Doesn't have to happen that way. And yet that's how we somehow theologically do gymnastics. And I mean, the best and greatest and wisest theologians fall over that because I think they forget that the Spirit, Holy Spirit and Christ are separate but connected. They're the same, right? They're part of a single Trinity and you're not separating them. The only time any member of the Trinity was ever separated from another member of the Trinity was on the cross. When we're baptized into the Spirit, that's what happened at Pentecost. We were also made part of the body of Christ at that time. And that's what we're going to talk about in the second session. Because you're like, okay, I see a wet toy. What does this have to do with me? Why does it matter? Well, that's what we're going to spend the whole second session on. So, all right, so you get that? So one baptism. And that's what the Bible seems to indicate. All seven passages in one Spirit or in pneumati hagio, that the in the Spirit holy, That's what every phrase uses, that exact same thing. And I don't think you have to step outside of that or somehow say it's by here and in here to get one baptism that the Bible talks about in the Gospels, in Acts chapter 1, in Acts chapter 11, and even 1 Corinthians 12, 13 doesn't require the idea of the Spirit doing the baptizing. Once we're placed into the Spirit, immersed into the Spirit, we become part of that body by means of that Spirit. It's a one action thing rather than two or more. All right? The next one, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about baptism in the Spirit. Why does it matter? That's a good question, right? Who cares? You care more than you realize. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, our minds, help us to think clearly on this. And may you burn it into our minds about the baptism of the Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.